We're so glad that you are visiting with us this morning. I expected there'd probably be a decent amount of visitors. We're thankful that you've decided to come and study with us this morning. We've been in the book of James since the 1st of July, and now we're at chapter 3. And as we've said many times, those that have been here, that the book of James is incredibly practical in our lives. And last week we studied the end of chapter 2, finished up, talked about faith and works. And it's a very good transition to what we're talking about today, in that James chapter 3 talks about the tongue and our speech and the things that we say, and how that really directly relates to faith and works, and the things that we say, how that shows works in our lives of God having an influence over us. How many in this room, you don't have to show your hands, just kind of a rhetorical question, would anybody here like to take back anything you ever said? Right? We kind of can all chuckle about that. Some of us maybe as early as this morning would like to take something we said. Not talking about myself, but somebody may. No, I'm just kidding on that. But, you know, that's the things that we say so many times can come back in time that we wish we wouldn't have said those things. We can, and James warns us, and he talks about good and bad things that we can do with our speech, and that's really what we're going to talk about today. And, of course, as a Christian, it's our duty to learn to control the things that we say and control our speech. We have great ability to do great things with the things that we say. We also have the ability to do bad things with the words we say. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, many of y'all know that. It says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." Have you ever known somebody that just knew how to say something in the right time, in the right way, and how wonderful that is? I'm sure that you all probably have a friend or know somebody that has been able in your life to always come and say the right thing that you needed to hear. And as a Christian, that's what we strive to do. It says here in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's telling us, we don't need to let any unwholesome word proceed from our mouth, but that which is good for edification. What a great encouragement, and also the bar set high. It says here that it needs to be for the moment. Those things, there are certain things that we can say that in and of themselves may not be wrong, but this is telling us that there is a need for each moment. And we need to be able to give grace to those that hear. Also, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Let your speech always be with grace." See, grace is an underlying thing in our speech. It says, "As though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." Most of us here in the South like salt on our food, right? If you ever eat a boiled egg, you want some salt on it. I don't know, maybe somebody doesn't like salt on their boiled egg, but if I have one, I want a little salt. We make peas, we make turnips, that salt, we understand that concept that if we have something that's bland, we put a little salt with it, it really makes it a lot better. And Paul's telling us that our speech should be that way. It says here that it needs to be something as seasoned with salt. It just makes life a little better for those that we're in contact with. We have great ability with the things that we say to give a little bit of seasoning to people's lives. And it said that you will know how to, you should respond to each person. What a great encouragement again for us. As we strive to grow in the way that we speak and the things that we say, how we know how to respond. Back in Ephesians, it tells us that we are able to speak according to the moment. Why is this so hard? Open it up for discussion. Why is this a difficult thing? Maybe it's not for you, and that's great, but it is for me sometimes. Why is this a difficult thing? Absolutely, right? We're inundated in a world that doesn't speak this way, right? And it drags us down, right? And you know what's interesting kind of on that point is that James is talking about speaking in our interaction. Think about our world today and how we communicate in so many different ways instead of just person to person, right? We have social media, we have emails, we have texts. There's so many things that I think fall under this category of we need to be able to speak those for the moment. Those things need to be seasoned with salt and give grace to the hearers. Why else? Good one. Why else is this hard? Okay. Sometimes we just don't have the wisdom to choose the right words. Exactly. What else? Absolutely. Excellent point. And as an American, we say, hey, we have free speech, but we're first a Christian, right? And that freedom of speech needs to be limited. I think that's great to make that point. Also, you know, the things that we say, doesn't it really show what's important to us? Like, I mean, that you could be around somebody for 5 to 10 minutes and you can know what's important to them. And most of you guys know this person. I'm going to use them as an example because I think you'll know. Brady Peak was here for several years. What was important to Brady Peak? Agriculture, right? Where did Brady Peak love? What did he love? North Alabama, right? Nobody was around Brady Peak for more than 5 minutes and knew that he loved North Alabama. There was no greater country than God's country in Athens, right? Or North Alabama. And he loved agriculture, farming. Brady was a great person. That's why I feel like I can use him as an example in this, because I feel like, you know, you were around Brady, you knew that he was just happy. He was a very godly young man, but he also loved those things. He talked about them. And what about us? What do we talk about? You know, we've talked many times about the teachings in James really goes back to what Jesus taught, James being Jesus' brother, of course. Let's turn back to Matthew 12 here as a way of introduction, and then we'll get into James. You knew we couldn't have this class without talking about Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 12. At the very end of the chapter, or near the end of the chapter, I guess more middle, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, Jesus had just before this talked about the unpardonable sin, and he says in verse 32, whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall be not forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. And we're not going to talk about what that means, but the point is that the things that we speak matter here. Then he goes on and says in verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And I am reading from the New American Standard. Some of you guys, in verse 34, it says, for the mouth speaks out that which fills the heart. What's another version? What does yours say there at the end of 34? Abundance. From the abundance of the heart we speak, right? I like that idea that it's not just a little bit, it's an abundance. What's in our heart is going to be manifested in the things we say. You know, that's what scares me sometimes, because sometimes the things that come out of my mouth, I know they're somewhere in my heart. And that's where we have to start. And that's what James is telling us, that's what Jesus is telling us here, is that if we're saying bad things, we're a bad tree, right? Not that we stumble. This is not a stumbling and struggling issue, but this is, in general, if we can't have good and bad come out of the same source. And that's how James ends our lesson today in James chapter 3. Jesus says that out of the abundance of the heart, so a man speaks. Or it says in my version, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Also, Jesus says, where your treasure is, what, there your heart will be also. Heart and our speech and all those things are intertwined. So that's why when we want to control the things that we say, it's great that we can control it, but we really have to start inward before we can control what we say outward. David said in Psalm chapter 141, Psalm 141 verse 3, he says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. I love that visual picture, right? It says he wanted a guard over his mouth, almost like the lips was a door. And I kind of thought, well, most of the time my door needs to be shut, right? We need to be quiet. And James tells us, remember in James chapter 1, verse 19, to be slow to speak. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago in reference to listening to the Word of God, obviously there. But Jesus gives us this great admonition here, and then he says, but I tell you, every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for in the day of judgment. And most of your versions of the way we know that is every idle word. And the things that we say will ultimately be tied to our fruit, but then that fruit will be tied, as it says here, into judgment. So it's very important that we learn to say the things that we should in line with what God wants us to, because it says in verse 37, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Any opening comment, anything on this intro before we kind of get into James chapter 3? Brother Larry? Absolutely. Good, excellent point. For those of you going to hear Brother Larry, he said the old expression, if you have two ears and one mouth, two eyes, that you use it in proportion, that we should listen a lot more than we speak. Anybody else on that? Those introductory comments. It's because we're talking about the tongue that nobody wants to comment in the speech. Is that what it is? Right. It is a challenge to not want to, that we do in our society want to be heard, and we want people to listen to what we have to say on that. Anything else? Jimmy? Absolutely. He was perfect in that. Yes, Josh? That's right. We can't do it on our own accord. And that's exactly right, with God's help. And that's what he's going to teach us here, that through him changing our heart, and that's what Jesus is saying here, through changing our heart, him telling us what to think on, what things should be in our heart, those things will ultimately proceed out of us, and through his help we can. All right, let's jump right in and read these first 12 verses here. Let no one of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that you as such will incur a stricter judgment. But we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. But if we put the bits in the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets the fire, the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds and reptiles, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men we have made, who have been made in the likeness of God, from the same mouth both blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. So let's jump right into this. James here in James chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. I think, that can somewhat cause some issues when we read Hebrews chapter 5. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need of milk and not solid food. And then 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We can look at other verses. It says older women are to teach the younger women, older men to teach the younger men. We are instructed to be teachers. And those who don't teach in a formal setting are going to teach in one way or the other, whether you're a parent, whether you are teaching by just the actions that you do, we in some way teach. So what is James saying here? What does he mean by let not many become teachers, brethren, knowing that you will incur a stricter judgment? What's the warning? I don't know about you, but as being a teacher, it gives me pause, right? You think, what is he saying here? And I'm sure Ryan is a preacher, right? I mean, this gives you, you're not going to say anything, Ryan? You're not going to help me at all. Thanks. Josh? Absolutely. That's exactly right. The one thing that gives me I'm thankful about is I have Jimmy here, I have Larry here, I have Ryan back there. If I say something wrong, you know what's going to happen? They're going to meet me in the back and hopefully correct me. I have people that love me, and I think that's what's good about being in this setting, that we work together. But that's exactly right. You have the ability to influence and affect others. Absolutely. And it says back in 2 Timothy 2, it says, when the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, he gives two qualifiers. He says, entrust these to what? Faithful men. He says, who are able to teach. When you become a teacher, you need to be faithful. Your life needs to be in line with what you're trying to teach, right? Not that we're perfect. Nobody expects anybody that teaches or preaches to be perfect in everything they say. And it's not that we can't teach and preach on things that we have all down pat. Or I wouldn't be teaching James to you, right? I mean, I could not be here teaching James because, as I've said before, this book steps on my toes something awful. It's not that I have this all figured out when I get up here and study and teach it. It's that it convicts me to say, hey, you need to watch what you're saying, Ashley. If you're going to be a teacher, if you're going to be a Christian, more importantly, your speech has to align with what that calling is. But he also says here in James chapter 3, verse 1, it says, we'll incur a stricter judgment. Is this God's judgment or human judgment?
Probably yes.
Yes. That's right, it is, both. But what do you think James is saying here? God's judgment, right? All right, so is this going to mean that those that teach are going to be, in the day of judgment, going to be brought over here and they're going to have a stricter judgment versus these over here? Somebody help me with this because I'm not exactly sure. Josh? Okay. What else? Ryan, I see your face back there. I know you want to add something right here.
I mean, I think this is directly related to what Jesus said about stumbling blocks. I mean, that's some of the strongest language that we read in the New Testament, what he says about losing
the tied to millstone. Yeah. Excellent. And that's exactly back to the Hebrew writer telling us that we ought to be teachers, right? That should be something we strive for. Larry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I put him on the spot. He just gave me that look, so I knew. Absolutely. And isn't it always hard to go back and correct things? I mean, that's why it's so good to get it right up front. When you've messed up in your speech and you try to, you can always get forgiveness, no doubt, but it's always hard to mess it up, to make it right. Also, I think James gives us an insight here in chapter 3, verse 2. It says, for, he's going back to verse 1, it says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. And I think this ties right back to the stricter judgment and that the point's been made that when you're a teacher, you're going to say more, right? So when you say more, you have more of an opportunity to stumble in what you say, and you're going to have to be careful to know what you're saying is not going to influence someone down the wrong path. Also, I think it's interesting here, James puts himself in this. He says, not for you all stumble. He says, we all stumble in many ways, right? We all struggle. But he says here, if anyone is not stumbling in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. We're going to talk about this a little bit more. But the perfection here, what's the concept here? We know this. This is, what's the perfect here? Complete, right? Mature. Go back, and you don't have to turn now, but Matthew chapter 5, the end of Matthew chapter 5 talks about be perfect like God is perfect. And he's saying that in context, and that God gives his blessings and his goodness to everybody. and that we should, like God, give our blessings and goodness to everybody, and that includes speech. And I kind of see that here, that once we become mature, the things that we say should not cause us to stumble as we mature, as we grow. And there is an element where we'll always, as Josh said, always struggle with this. We have to let God work in us to be able to help us with the things that we say in order not to stumble. Also, the idea here, and it's going to be even more so through the rest of the next couple of scriptures, next couple of verses, he said, if he is able to bridle the whole body as well. He's saying that if you could control your tongue, that is a great indication of the self-control you have over your whole body. Because how easy it is just to say something, just to spout it off right off the cuff. We have to be able to then, if we can control that, be able to then control our body. And that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Self-control that we should put on to be able to be the types of Christians that we should be. Anything else on verses 1 and 2? Jimmy? That's right. Great point. And isn't it interesting that God decided to use words through his scripture and through preaching? That's how he spreads his word, is through the preaching of the gospel and how important those words are. All right, verses 3 through 5. Now if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. We see three examples here that James gives about the tongue and why it's important to control it. He compares it to bits in horses' mouths, rudders on a boat, and also a small fire. And I think the first two are very much the same visual in that the horse bit is able to control this very powerful animal. That small little bit in his mouth is able to control the whole body just by pulling it one way or the other. And then he kind of goes to the same example in a boat, and he says, you know, the boat is tossed to and fro in the winds, in the waves, by the wind, but the pilot is able to direct it where he wants to go by that very small rudder. Basically, he's saying, look, you can control your tongue. You can control the whole of this. It's very powerful. It can be very destructive, but you have to control it. And I think that's very important to get from these situations that he shows here, is that a horse is a very powerful animal. A ship tossed to and fro in the waves can be very destructive and very powerful, but there's something very small that controls that, and that's our tongue. And that's how we look at controlling our whole bodies. We start with our tongue. We start with the things we say. And then he goes in verse 5, the end of it, he says, see how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. All of us in our lifetime have seen on the news about forest fires. Some of you may have even seen it, but it's always usually started, what, by a flick of a cigarette, a campfire that didn't get properly put out. It's something very small that then leads to this great fire. And he's given us that warning, kind of contrasting to the animal and the ship, the horse and the ship, and that now this is uncontrollable, right? It's something that's total destruction, totally uncontrolled, that, hey, there's a situation where you can control your tongue, the whole body, and that's a good visual, and there's also a situation where it's uncontrolled. It's like a fire, and you say this one thing that you can't get back, and the whole place is burned down. How many, I know in my life, I could see where I've said one little thing, and it's escalated, right? And you think, if I could just get that one thing back, I didn't really mean it how I said it or what I said. I didn't really mean it, but we can't undo it, right? How many of us that have been married would love to change some of the things that we've said to our spouse, right? I mean, how many less heartaches would we have that's my fault because of just one little thing I've said? Well, one little thing in my mind, right? But it was big. It turned into a big issue. I saw a hand over here. It's Tiffany? Gossip, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's kind of the idea here of the fire. That can be gossip. That could be outburst of anger, the things that we say in a moment of rage. How many of us have gotten so angry and said things that's like later you're like, what? That wasn't me, you know? You say things when you're aggravated that you never would imagine to say. Slander, filthy talk. And I can get on my soapbox for a minute, but I won't for long. This OMG stuff, right? I understand some of this other. I can relate to it, but OMG or using the Lord's name in vain, I don't get it. And that, as a Christian, that should never be something that we are accustomed to, allow come out of our mouth to be part of. And I think that's all those things kind of go into this concept of controlling the things that we say. But you know, the conclusion James gives in the first part of 5, he says, also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. I love here, he doesn't say these great things are good or bad, right? These great things here, maybe we take from great that that's good, but hey, it goes on to this concept of the fire that we, and he's going to finish here, that we could do great things with our tongue, both in a destructive way, or an uncontrolled destructive way, or in a controlled way where we can actually do very good things with it. Anything else on that? Yes, sir. Excellent point. Thank you for adding that. And I think that's really good to segue into here. And I'll go ahead and just read verse 6. It says, and the tongue is a fire of the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. And I put the point here, the course of our life is that, back to the parent-child thing, I have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 2.5-year-old, especially the older two. They say things sometimes, and I think, oh, that's awful. Where did you get that attitude, or why did you say something like that? And then I say, oh, you know, you know, and realize, man, that really smacks you in the face, right? I know exactly where they got that from, that attitude or that tone. They learned it because they watched me do it. And so that goes back. We set on course our entire life. And think about that. The things that we say sets on course everything in our lives, right? From the moment we wake up in the morning to the moment we go to bed, the communication we have is really what our life's all about, whether it's with our significant other, with our family, ultimately with God, right? These things are incredibly important, And he's saying here that the tongue is a fire of the very world of iniquity. It's set among our members and it defiles the entire body. We can be defiled. Remember, Jesus said it's not what goes in the body that defiles a man, but what comes out of the body. And that goes back to the heart. It says that that's probably the easiest indication of us to know each other's fruit and what's really in our heart is by the things we say. Right, Jimmy? It's my feet too, Jimmy. Isn't that what Jesus did on the cross? Back to your example. Yeah. Very hard. Yep. Sarah? That's right. Yeah, you can't let our emotions lead what we say. My brother-in-law, some of y'all know him, Sid Rose. Sid is one, he is an example to me of somebody that's very controlled in what he says. And I know Christopher probably agrees with me that knows him well. Some of y'all know him from, you know, you look at people that are very guarded and calculated in what they say. You think, I could never get him aggravated, right? You know, not that I'm trying to. But, you know, you think, man, he just handles these situations so well. But that didn't happen overnight, right? That's something that he's developed in age, in experience, and I'm sure that we all can grow and strive to be like that. But that's kind of, he doesn't let emotions drive him. He lets his heart, he's developed his heart in such a way that he's able to not let his words come out when he doesn't really want them to. James continues here in chapter 3, verse 7, for every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Here James gives us a couple of examples that's really kind of shocking, right? Hey, every beast has been able to be controlled. Every human has been able to control these beasts, but you can't control your tongue. What does he compare it to in verse 9? What does he control, verse 8? What's our tongue compared to? A snake, right? A serpent, full of deadly poison. I think that's that concept that, man, you know, a poison is not like a fire, right? Fire is very much, you see it, it's destructive. Poison's a little more subtle, right? So he's saying, I see visualization here of a lot of different ways in which our tongue can be dangerous. Poison is something that can be subtle, not as easily seen, and that we, as we say here, we can't control our, it says here that no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Now back to Josh's point earlier, isn't it possible to tame our tongue? Looking at these, what's that? Not without God. We have to have God's help in that, right? Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. An excellent point. Those that didn't hear is just that with God, all things are possible, and it's God's help that's going to help us be able to tame our tongues. Let's go ahead and finish up here. Dave just rang the first bell. It says, with it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and curses. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. And we go back, James goes back to these agricultural visualizations, right? He's done it through the whole book. He says, look, you know, nature itself tells you that a fig tree can't make olives, right? You can't have a fresh stream and have bitter in it. These are just natural occurring events, right? It's obvious. The answer to this is a resounding no. This can't happen, right? But he's saying here, as a Christian, we can't have both blessings and cursings coming out of our mouth. And I think of, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 10, where it says you can't dine at the idol's table and at the Lord's table, right? You can't be doing two things at once. And as a Christian, we have to be careful that our speech is consistent with our faithful calling of being a Christian and doing the things that we say. And he said it ought not to be this way. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. I think it's very interesting here that James, again, goes right back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, where he talks about we'll be known by our fruit, right? That's basically saying that we will be known by the fruits that we produce. And he also says a very southern way in verse 10, he says these things ought not to be this way, ought not to be so. He's telling us you can't be faithful and let your speech be those things that are filthy and wrong. And then I want to end with Psalm 19, verse 14. I think it's a great prayer that David made in Psalm 19, verse 14. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I think it's a great prayer for us, right? Use me, Lord, in your service. Help me understand the things that I should think on. Help me change my heart and let those things that I meditate on, the things that I say, be acceptable to you. I think that's a great challenge, but a great encouragement that we can do so many good things with the words that we say in our speech. Thank you all for your good attention. We will pick up with wisdom from above next week, which I think leads great. It's a very good lead-in talking about the tongue into that next week. Thank you. Thank you all.